of, we need your power to live in times that are troubling. And so, Lord, we come to you this day. We pray indeed that we would have the power to see your will. Lord, that you would grant us patience, that we would have patience as we wait for thee. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This week we continue in our series in the Believe book, Living the Story of the Bible to Become Like Jesus. This week's message is on patience. I am slow to anger and endure patiently under the unavoidable pressures of life. Well, that sounds just like me. Let's say that together. I am slow to anger and endure patiently under the unavoidable pressures of life. Oh, if it were only true. On the one hand, I certainly feel inadequate to this topic. Hardly qualified, I would say. I think perhaps I would like to hear someone like Dean Robinson or Jim Barr, who's not here today, or either Chad and Kaiser Young, teach us about what it is to be patient. Sorry for those who got left out, but I can't name all of you. But almost any of you would be more qualified in some ways to teach on this topic. On the other hand, if you knew me, and if you knew me well, and if you knew me before I was your pastor 15 years ago, well, I was pretty good 15 years ago, really, comparatively. So we go back 20 years. You would be amazed with what little patience I have today. You would really be blown away. Thankfully, in truth, my qualifications are not on debate. Whew. On this Sunday or any Sunday. Because my qualification to be in this pulpit is the same as your qualifications to be in that pew. That I am a sinner, saved by grace, by the mercy of God, through Jesus Christ and His shed blood on the cross. Amen? So that's good news. So I'm going to preach this message like I know what I'm talking about. And you're going to pretend it's true because Jesus is the inspiration for this topic. And this is His word proclaimed, not mine. So by His grace, we will talk about this word, patience. All that to say is that patience is likely a growing edge, not only for me, but for many of us. Amen? Can I get some agreement with that? That many of us would like to grow in this word, patience, which is known to be one of the key characteristics of the Christian life. If we are to look like Christ, to be Christ-like, one of the qualities that we should display is patience. And so we are called to live it out. Here's the good news for you. We don't live it out by our own power. It's not brought out of us by willpower. It's brought out of us by spiritual power. For all the fruit of the Spirit are born of the Spirit. And so I'd encourage you today to remember that we will talk about how we can develop this trait, but its source will be from God. So the key question this week in the book is, those of you who were reading along, how does God provide the help I need to meet the stress I face? I've changed a little bit. And that's a really good question, isn't it? How do I have the patience I need to meet the stress I will face? And so the first place we have to begin really is with ourselves. With our own sense of self, our sense of self-righteousness, our sense of self-deservingness, if that's a word I can use. We are often self-absorbed. And that causes the downfall of so many human beings. Ultimately, we are all, at some level, the center of our own universe. And we've talked about that before. That the universe, in our experience, starts right about here. And we all experience it from behind our own eyes. And that is something we need to grow out of. So in one form, the way that God helps us to deal with the power of stress in the world is to help us realize that we really aren't all that important. Let me say that again. That we really aren't all that important. See, our advertising, our country in many ways, our culture has been teaching you for your entire life that you are important. That you should have it your own way. That you should have it the way you deserve it. That you should have it now and faster. And what the Scriptures teach us is that God should have it His way. And that if we are to be happy, we are to actually follow His desires, not our own. And so the very presence of God helps us deal with stress because we see something that is bigger and more powerful than any desire, any dream, any pressure that we will experience. If you are the most important being in the universe, having your needs met is a primary goal. And if you think you are the center of the universe and the most important thing in the universe, and having your needs met is your most important goal, you will be disappointed. Because you won't have your needs fully met. You will not get everything you desire and want. That is a fact. Only God has the power to meet all of His needs. There's a great word for it. It's called aseity. God is needless. He has no needs. He is the only being in the universe that is never disappointed. He is bigger than us. He is greater than us. He is grander than us. And His very existence should take the pressure off a little bit. As you recognize that not getting everything you want is normal, you will experience less stress just by the presence of God in the universe. I want you to do a mental exercise. I've done this often with Sunday school classes over the year. I don't know if I've done it in church before. I've been here long enough, I'm starting to duplicate some stuff. But I want you to pretend that you're looking at Google Earth. Everybody know Google Earth? Okay, you're not going to admit if you don't know Google Earth. Okay, so Google Earth's a map on your computer or your phone, and you pull it up and it's like a globe, and you can tap on it and it'll go down and zoom in where you want to look at, right? So I want you right now in your mental mind, you can close your eyes if you have to, it's okay. I know I'm not pretty anyway. But you tap on that spot and you're going to zoom in until you come right down and you see First Presbyterian Church. And now we're going to pretend Google Earth superpowered. It just went right through the ceiling and you're looking at the top of your head. And now I want you to just scroll out, right? And first you're going to see the whole room again. You're going to see the roof again. You're going to see the city of Thibodaux. You're going to see the state of Louisiana. You're going to see the nation of the United States. You're going to see the Western Hemisphere. And you know Google Earth now, they have Google Space. Have you seen that? And so you're going to keep Googling back until you see the Milky Way. How important are you? Is Pastor Bill being mean to say you're not that important? That I'm not that important? Now, I want you to keep in mind that the Milky Way is just one of many galaxies that God is holding under His control every second, every minute, every hour of every day, of every year, for eons and eons and eons. Imagine the size of God. That should make life a little less big. Having our needs met a little less important. God's very existence should help us all put ourselves in perspective. Our rights, our desires, the stress we face, the needs we have should be placed in divine perspective. And look, it's not just me. Max Lucado in this week's devotionals wrote, "Who died and made you God? Who died and made you God?" Philippians 1, 3 through 6. We find in Scriptures these words. Philippians 1, beginning at verse 3. "I thank my God every time I remember you, always praying with joy for all of you. I thank God for the help you gave me while I preached the good news, help you gave from the first day you believed until now. God began doing a good work in you, and I'm sure He will continue it until it is finished when Jesus Christ comes again." Now think about that. Do the scroll out. We are back at the Milky Way. Start scrolling back in. And you're coming into the solar system, and you come into Earth, and you see the moon go zipping by, and you come back to the United States, and you come back to Thibodaux, and you come back to this church, and you come back to the ceiling, and you come back to the top of your head. And the one that holds all of that in His palm, controls it. The Bible says stars drip from His fingertips. That one is paying attention to your life, and He has plans for you personally. Consider that. You can't. Even as some of you say amen, even as some of us begin to grasp it, goosebumps, I got the frissons, I think we call that, right? I really don't even get it. Because it's even bigger than I can imagine. It's even more thorough than I can imagine. He knows every hair on my head, Scripture teaches me. Every sparrow that falls to the ground, God knows. And yet He's in control of all things. And so He has a plan for us. Some of us are in worse shape than others. Amen? But no matter our condition, God is at work in your life. And that's good news. One of the keys to realize is that whoever we are dealing with, whatever situation is going on, that person is no more perfect than you are. The flaw that you are dealing with in another is equal to the flaws in your own life. I read a very interesting article this week. I have to say it surprised me. And then as I thought about it, it did not surprise me. It was about how George W. Bush, President George W. Bush, is becoming someone that President Obama looks to for comfort. Did you know this? It's mind-boggling that he receives emotional support from President W. Bush on a regular basis. Not every day, not every week, but once in a while these phone calls come in or these meetings will occur and they will talk. And it's interesting because when Senator Obama ran for president, he was a harsh critic of President Bush, right? I mean, called him every name in the book that he could get away with. But each time they meet and each tragedy they face together these days that are so troubled, they have spoken and W. Bush has been very encouraging to him. And you notice, President Bush has not made any disparaging remarks about President Obama in the press. Not one. Almost 8 years, and it has not occurred. He's a Christian man, George Bush is. And I know this at a personal level. Because when I was in seminary, he was governor of Texas, and I went to seminary in Austin. And I met for prayer every week with two people, one of whom was his liaison to the state senate and worked in his office every day. And the other was the husband of the person who became his spokesperson, Karen Hughes. Jerry Hughes was a good friend of mine. Very nice man. Both of them deeply, deeply engaged in their Christian faith. And both of them spoke often of the president's faith, the future president's faith. There's never been any question of this in my mind. It's been very obvious from the conversations I've had with people who know him. And it shows in his behavior that he does not have an inflated view of himself. In fact, President Obama spoke of George W. Bush thusly. To know the man is to like the man. He's comfortable in his own skin. He knows who he is. He doesn't put on pretenses. He takes his job seriously, but he doesn't take himself too seriously. He is a good man. Isn't that amazing? These harsh political opponents. Think about, too, the friendship between both of the President Bushes and the Clintons. Harsh, harsh political enemies. Yet, nonetheless, these Christian men doing their duty and showing love for their fellow man. And I think we could all aspire to this kind of behavior. In fact, it's incredibly biblical to recognize that we should have this kind of behavior, that we should be humble in our hearts, that we should recognize that we are not God. We are not the center of the universe. Even a president has to recognize who they are. And this is all going to make a connection. Stay with me, please. It is a key step in being more patient with others to recognize fully who we are. People may make plans in their mind, but the Lord decides what they will do. Proverbs 16:9. Have you ever experienced that? The secular version of that is, men make plan and God laughs. Right? It doesn't actually say that in Scripture. says, you make plans, but things work out the way God wants them to work out. So our key verse this week, whoever is patient has great understanding, but one who is quick-tempered displays folly. And that's in Proverbs as well, chapter 14. So once we pause in any given situation, so when you're in a conversation and it's not going well, when you're speaking to someone maybe and they're being harsh to you, when you're speaking to someone and maybe they're being unkind to someone else and that is troubling your spirit, and you want to jump in there and do something or engage in some way, pause just a second and think about the glorious one governing the entire universe. And then as you consider His glory, maybe think of your own failings and just slow down. You know, Facebook, right? Click, click, click. Boom. Turmoil. It's amazing how quick one little phrase on Facebook can blow up things around you. But if we would just slow down our reactions, perhaps our struggles would decrease. Now, perhaps your struggles are ongoing. Maybe there are people in your lives or situations in your lives that just don't go away. And you have to deal with that. And so let me ask another focusing question. Have you asked God to help you? So our first question is, who died and made you God? And see, what happens is we get to running on our own power. Amen? And we get to solving problems. And sometimes we're solving problems at such a rapid pace that we forgot the most important element of our life, and that is to seek God's counsel on what we're doing. And one of the ways that we seek God's counsel is prayer. Lord, I don't know what to do. Pray. Lord, I don't know what to do. Show me what to do. Give me your wisdom, Lord. Tell me what to do in this situation. And then wait. Ephesians 3:20 poses it to us this way. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. Now that's the Word of God to you. So do you believe it? Do you believe that He is more powerful to work in your life than you can even imagine? That He has got plans for your life that is actually beyond the questions you're even asking today. And I would pose to you just as an addition this morning that many of your questions are just the flat out wrong questions. And He knows that. The great philosopher Garth Brooks. Old song, right? I thank God for unanswered prayers. How many of us can look back on our lives? I know I can. And look at prayers that we earnestly ask that we are so glad God did not answer. His wisdom is greater than ours. His ways are beyond our ways. We have to bring our lives to God in prayer. And once we've dealt with our daily impatient reactions, our lack of keeping our cool over one-time incidents, we have to learn to cope with those long-term challenges that do face us in our lives. And the big step in all of those is to trust God. To just step into that belief, step into the knowledge that we have through Scripture, that He is able to do immeasurable more than all we ask or imagine. And there's this old statement, it's really powerful, let go and let God. Sometimes we just have to take that situation and let it go. And let God. It's something we have to go over all the time. Oh, this situation, it's really bothering me. What do I do? What can you do? Nothing. Well, then let go. But you know, a lot of us, we've got a situation. You know what I'm talking about? And grabbing hold of it, and we're digging those claws in. And so if we do let go, there's claw marks all the way down the situation. And the growing edge for us is to let go. To let go faster. To let go automatically. Let it be our first instinct to let go and let God handle it. So much of what we are struggling to control is beyond our ability. So just do that Google Earth thing again. And just scroll out. And look at the galaxies and their beauty and certain orderliness to the whole universe. I know they talk about chaos theory, but when I look at nature, I see order. I see order out of chaos. He's in control. He's got things in hand. So much of what we are struggling to control is just beyond us. Not only did God create all that you can see, He's keeping it all moving. He sustains it at His will, and you are in His plans. The God who started this great work in you will keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day Christ Jesus appears. That's that same passage of Scripture from the Message. Our worrying produces nothing, hear me, nothing but stress. But the Spirit produces the fruit of love, joy, peace, patience. Galatians 5:22. Another problem for us is that we often don't really understand what's going on. Like Pokemon Go for many of you. I've been explaining it repeatedly. So a few of you are getting it. Carol, you doing better? Just kidding. All right. No, okay. But it's true. There are things in life we don't understand. We think we have the ability to grasp what's going on. We think we know what's happening, and we react with our own mind and our own ability without seeking God first. And then later, how many of you later, we realize, oh, I had no clue. That's not what I thought it was. I didn't understand what was going on. I'll tell you a story from our house, and Julia did not give me permission. So Julia does this all the time. She blames me for missing items in the house. She doesn't ask me what happened. She just starts going around the house grumbling about where the item is. Y'all can picture this, right? It's her. And I'm just sitting there calmly, patiently, quietly. Where did you leave it, honey? Is it in its normal place? Is it behind the milk? Did you look behind the milk? And she's just rampaging around the house. Finally, I tell her where I moved it. Things get back to normal. Everybody's happy. The kids come back in the house after having fled. Okay. Seriously, though, when we have these problems in our lives, even these little things that just uptick the stress in our personal life, it's all about us feeling out of control, isn't it? It's about us feeling out of control. And so we have to recognize that we have issues with trying to control. And if we go through this system of realizing God is in control, that God is the controller of the universe, that God is there superintending all things, you will begin to be less stressed about these situations. So you ask yourself, do you understand the situation? And here's some great quick scriptures for you. Patient people have great understanding. Proverbs 14:29. A man of understanding holds his tongue. Proverbs 11. A man of understanding is even-tempered. Proverbs 17:27. In other words, seek further understanding and you will find yourself being more patient. You know why a patient man understands? Because he waits to get the information he needs or she needs. That's why they have understanding, because they stop and think. And that can be an incredibly powerful thing for the church as a community, as we individually are patient, bearing with one another, bearing with the world outside. We could really change things if we all exhibited this behavior. It says in Scripture, we are saved because our Lord is patient. God is being patient with you. Those are both from 2 Peter in chapter 3. It strikes me as pretty funny. We spend a lot of time comforting people, telling them to be patient with God. Right? Be patient with God. He's going to come through. It'll work out. Trust Him. He's going to get there. God is always on time, we tell people. We spend a lot of time worrying about whether God is going to fulfill things. God will come through in the end. It's we that need to be patient. When the truth is the only reason we're still in existence is because of God's patience with us. Think about it. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He was patient. The only reason any of us have a home in heaven is that God is patient. In light of that, we should be patient with others. So I'm going to be more patient with Julia when she loses her temper. I think they got that without you telling them. I think so. I hope so. We need to be more patient. I want you to think of some of the grudges you're holding on to today. Some of the resentments you've been bearing. Perhaps bitterness or woundedness that you were feeling because your needs were not met in some way. Think of some failures that you still regret. I want to encourage you. In just a moment, we'll do it in a time of silent prayer. I want you to hold them up before God and give them back to Him. To let go and let Him deal with them. Hold them up before God. Hold them before your own behavior. And let us seek more understanding. Let us ask to be more patient. I know it's a lot to ask. I understand that some of these hurts are very deep. But I encourage you this day to give them to the Lord and trust Him with them. Let us pray, and then there will be a time of silence as you consider this. Lord, help us. Send Your Spirit among Your people even now. Encourage us by Your Word and by Your Spirit to think of the things we need to relinquish to You as we become more patient. Lord, search us and try us. And Lord, hear again in the silence of this place our confessions of need. Hear us, O Lord. Lord, as we consider, in many ways, harm that's been done to us, struggles that we face, Lord, we may even discover that some of our resentment and anger is against You. We know we need You to be patient with us, but Lord, we need to be patient. We need to know that You're going to bring things to truth, to fruition, that You have plans for our lives. So Lord, we pray today that as we consider these items, as we try to let go, that You indeed would take them. And Lord, we do believe Your Word, that You are faithful and just, that You will do good in our lives. So Lord, thank You for this time of prayer. Bless us with Your Spirit. Remind us, even as we have prayed, that we can trust You, for we have been adopted through Jesus Christ, and we can pray as He taught us. Our Father.